Chapter 7. Environmental and Hazardous Materials. Hazardous Waste. Definition of hazardous waste. Hazardous waste materials are chemicals, or components, that the shop no longer needs that pose a danger to the environment and people if they are disposed of in ordinary garbage cans or sewers. However, no material is considered hazardous waste until the shop has finished using it and is ready to dispose of it. Personal protective equipment, known as PPE, when handling hazardous waste material, one must always wear the proper protective clothing and equipment detailed in the Right to Know laws. This includes respirator equipment. All recommended procedures must be followed accurately. Personal injury may result from improper clothing, equipment, and procedures when handling hazardous materials. Federal and state laws. Occupational Safety and Health Act. The United States Congress passed the Occupational Safety and Health Act, or known as OSHA, in 1970. This legislation was designed to assist and encourage the citizens of the United States in their efforts to assure safe and healthful working conditions by providing research, information, education, and training in the field of occupational safety and health. Safe and healthful working conditions for working men and women by authorizing enforcement of the standards developed under the Act. Because about 25% of workers are exposed to health and safety hazards on the job, the OSHA standards are necessary to monitor, control, and educate workers regarding health and safety in the workplace. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, publishes a list of hazardous materials that is included in the Code of Federal Regulations known as CFR. The EPA considers waste hazardous if it is included on the EPA list of hazardous materials, or it has one or more of the following characteristics. Reactive, any material that reacts violently with water or other chemicals is considered hazardous. Corrosive, if a material burns the skin, or dissolves metals and other materials, a technician should consider it hazardous. A pH scale is used, with the number 7 indicating neutral. Pure water has a pH of 7. Lower numbers indicate an acidic solution and higher numbers indicate an alkaline solution. If a material releases cyanide gas, hydrogen sulfide gas, or similar gases when exposed to low pH acid solutions, it is considered hazardous. Toxic. Materials are hazardous if they leak one or more of 8 different heavy metals in concentrations greater than 100 times the primary drinking water standard. Ignitable. A liquid is hazardous if it has a flash point below 140 degrees Fahrenheit, 60 degrees Celsius, and a solid is hazardous if it ignites spontaneously. Radioactive. Any substance that emits measurable levels of radiation is radioactive. When individuals bring containers of a highly radioactive substance into the shop environment, qualified personnel with the appropriate equipment must test them. Warning. Hazardous waste disposal laws include serious penalties for anyone responsible for breaking these laws. Refer to Figure 7.1. Safety data sheets should be readily available for use by anyone in the area who may come into contact with hazardous materials. Right to Know laws. The Right to Know laws state that employees have a right to know when the materials they use at work are hazardous. Under the Right to Know laws, the employer has responsibilities regarding the handling of hazardous materials by their employees. All employees must be trained about the types of hazardous materials they will encounter in the workplace. Safety data sheets, known as SDS. All hazardous materials must be properly labeled, and information about each hazardous material must be posted on safety data sheets, formally called Material Safety Data Sheets or MSDS, available from the manufacturer. In Canada, MSDS information is called Workplace Hazardous Materials Information Systems, known as WHMIS. The employer has a responsibility to place MSDS information where they are easily accessible by all employees. The manufacturer must supply all warning and precautionary information about hazardous materials. This information must be read and understood by the employee before handling the material. See Figure 7.1. Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, or known as RCRA, federal and state laws control the disposal of hazardous waste materials and every shop employee must be familiar with these laws. Hazardous waste disposal laws include the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act. This law states that hazardous material users are responsible for hazardous materials from the time they become a waste until the proper waste disposal is completed. Many shops hire an independent hazardous waste hauler to dispose of hazardous waste material. The shop owner, or manager, should have a written contract with the hazardous waste hauler. The RCRA controls the following types of automotive waste. Paint and body repair products waste. solvents for parts and equipment cleaning, batteries and battery acid, mild acids used for metal cleaning and preparation, waste oil, and engine coolants or antifreeze, air conditioning refrigerants and oils, engine oil filters. Refer to Figure 7, 2, tag that identifies the electrical power has been removed and service work is being done. Refer to Figure 7, 2, tag that identifies the electrical power has been removed and service work is being done. Lockout, degout, according to OSHA Title 29, Code of Federal Regulations or known as CFR, Part 1910.147, machinery must be locked out to prevent injury to employees when maintenance or repair work is being performed. Any piece of equipment that should not be used must be tagged and the electrical power disconnected to prevent it from being used. Always read, understand, and follow all safety warning tags. Refer to see Figure 7, 2. Clean Air Act air conditioning, A.C. systems and refrigerants are regulated by the Clean Air Act known as the CAA, Title 6, Section 609. Technician certification and service equipment is also regulated. Any technician working on automotive AC systems must be certified. AC refrigerants must not be released or vented into the atmosphere, and used refrigerants must be recovered. Asbestos hazards. Friction materials, such as brake and clutch linings, often contain asbestos. While asbestos has been eliminated from most original equipment friction materials, the automotive service technician cannot know whether the vehicle being serviced is or is not equipped with friction materials containing asbestos. It is important that all friction materials be handled as if they do contain asbestos. Asbestos exposure can cause scar tissue to form in the lungs. This condition is called asbestosis. It gradually causes increasing shortness of breath, and the scarring to the lungs is permanent. Even low exposures to asbestos can cause mesothelioma, a type of fatal cancer of the lining of the chest or abdominal cavity. Asbestos exposure can also increase the risk of lung cancer as well as cancer of the voice box, stomach, and large intestine. It usually takes 15 to 30 years or more for cancer or asbestos lung scarring to show up after exposure. Scientists call this the latency period. Government agencies recommend that asbestos exposure be eliminated or controlled to the lowest level possible. These agencies have developed recommendations and standards that the automotive service technician and equipment manufacturer should follow. These U.S. federal agencies include the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, known as NIOSH, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and Environmental Protection Agency. Asbestos OSHA standards, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration has established three levels of asbestos exposure. Any vehicle service establishment that does either brake or clutch work must limit employee exposure to asbestos to less than 0.2 fibers per cubic centimeter as determined by an air sample. If the level of exposure to employees is greater than specified, corrective measures must be performed and a large fine may be imposed. Note, research has found that worn asbestos fibers, such as those from automotive brakes or clutches, may not be as hazardous as first believed. Worn asbestos fibers do not have sharp flared ends that can latch onto tissue, but rather are worn down to a dust form that resembles talc. Grinding or sawing operations on unworn brake shoes or clutch discs will contain harmful asbestos fibers. To limit health damage, always use proper handling procedures while working around any component that may contain asbestos. Asbestos EPA regulations. The Federal Environmental Protection Agency has established procedures for the removal and disposal of asbestos. The EPA procedures require that products containing asbestos be wetted to prevent the asbestos fibers from becoming airborne. According to the EPA, asbestos-containing materials can be disposed of as regular waste. Only when asbestos becomes airborne is it considered to be hazardous. Asbestos handling guidelines. The air in the shop area can be tested by a testing laboratory, but this can be expensive. Tests have determined that asbestos levels can easily be kept below the recommended levels by using a liquid, like water, or a special vacuum. Note, the service technician cannot tell whether the old brake pads, shoes, or clutch discs contain asbestos. Therefore, to be safe, the technician should assume that all brake pads, shoes, or clutch discs contain asbestos. HEPA vacuum, a special high-efficiency particulate air HEPA vacuum system has been proven to be effective in keeping asbestos exposure levels below 0.1 fibers per cubic centimeter. Solvent spray. Many technicians use an aerosol can of brake cleaning solvent to wet the brake dust and prevent it from becoming airborne. A solvent is a liquid that is used to dissolve dirt, grime, or solid particles. Commercial brake cleaners are available that use a concentrated cleaner that is mixed with water. Refer to see Figure 7, 3. The waste liquid is filtered, and when dry, the filter can be disposed of as solid waste. Disposal of brake dust and brake shoes. The hazard of asbestos occurs when asbestos fibers are airborne. Once the asbestos has been wetted down, it is then considered to be solid waste, rather than hazardous waste. Old brake shoes and pads should be enclosed, preferably in a plastic bag, to help prevent any of the brake material from becoming airborne. Always follow current federal and local laws concerning disposal of o-waste. Warning: never use compressed air to blow brake dust. The fine talc-like brake dust can create a health hazard even if asbestos is not present or is present in dust rather than fiber form. Used brake fluid. Most brake fluid is made from polyglycol, is water-soluble, and can be considered hazardous if it has absorbed metals from the brake system. Storage and disposal of brake fluid. Collect brake fluid in a container clearly marked to indicate that it is designated for that purpose. If the waste brake fluid is hazardous, be sure to manage it appropriately and use only an authorized waste receiver for its disposal. If the waste brake fluid is non-hazardous, such as old, but unused, determine from your local solid waste collection provider what should be done for its proper disposal. Do not mix brake fluid with used engine oil. Do not pour brake fluid down drains or onto the ground. Recycle brake fluid through a registered recycler. Used oil. Used oil is any petroleum-based or synthetic oil that has been used. During normal use, impurities, such as dirt, metal scrapings, water, or chemicals, can get mixed in with the oil. Eventually, this used oil must be replaced with virgin or re-refined oil. The EPA's used oil management standards include a three-pronged approach to determine if a substance meets the definition of used oil. To meet the EPA's definition of used oil, a substance must meet each of the following three criteria. Origin. The first criterion for identifying used oil is based on the oil's origin. Used oil must have been refined from crude oil or made from synthetic materials. Animal and vegetable oils are excluded from the EPA's definition of used oil. Use. The second criterion is based on how the oil is used. Oils used as lubricants, hydraulic fluids, heat transfer fluids, and for other similar purposes are considered used oil. The EPA's definition also excludes products used as cleaning agents, as well as certain petroleum-derived products like antifreeze and kerosene. Contaminants. The third criterion is based on whether the oil is contaminated with either physical or chemical impurities. In other words, to meet the EPA's definition, used oil must become contaminated as a result of being used. This aspect of the EPA's definition includes residues and contaminants generated from handling, storing, and processing used oil. Note: the release of only 1 gallon of used oil, a typical oil change, can make 1 million gallons of fresh water undrinkable. If used oil is dumped down the drain and enters a sewage treatment plant, concentrations as small as 50 to 100 parts per million in the wastewater can foul sewage treatment processes. Never mix a listed hazardous waste, gasoline, wastewater, halogenated solvent, antifreeze, or an unknown waste material with used oil. Adding any of these substances will cause the used oil to become contaminated, which classifies it as hazardous waste. Storage and disposal of used oil. Once oil has been used, it can be collected, recycled, and used over and over again. An estimated 380 million gallons of used oil are recycled each year. Recycled used oil can sometimes be used again for the same job or can take on a completely different task. For example, used engine oil can be re-refined and sold at some discount stores as engine oil or processed for furnace fuel oil. After collecting used oil in an appropriate container, such as a 55-gallon steel drum, the material must be disposed of in one of two ways. Shipped off-site for recycling. Burned in an on-site or off-site EPA-approved heater for energy recovery. Used oil must be stored in compliance with an existing underground storage tank, or known as UST. Or an above-ground storage tank, known as a GST standard, or kept in separate containers. Refer to see Figure 7. 4. Containers are portable receptacles, such as a 55-gallon steel drum. Keep used oil storage drums in good condition. This means that they should be covered, secured from vandals, properly labeled, and maintained in compliance with local fire codes. Frequent inspections for leaks, corrosion, and spillage are an essential part of container maintenance. Never store used oil in anything other than tanks and storage containers, Used oil may also be stored in units that are permitted to store regulated hazardous waste. Refer to Figure 7.4, a typical above-ground oil storage tank. Used oil filter disposal regulations. Used oil filters contain used engine oil that may be hazardous. Before an oil filter is placed into the trash or sent to be recycled, it must be drained, using one of the following hot draining methods: draining at a temperature close to or at engine temperature, approved by the EPA. Puncture the filter anti-drain back valve or filter dome end and gravity drain for at least 12 hours. Hot draining and crushing. Dismantling and hot draining. Any other hot draining method, which will remove all the used oil from the filter after the oil has been drained from the oil filter, the filter housing can be disposed of in any of the following ways. Sent for recycling. Picked up by a service contract company. Disposed of in regular trash. Coolant disposal. Coolant is a mixture of antifreeze and water. New antifreeze is not considered to be hazardous, even though it can cause death if ingested. Used antifreeze may be hazardous due to dissolved metals from the engine and other components of the cooling system. These metals can include iron, steel, aluminum, copper, brass, and lead, from older radiators and heater cores. Coolant should be disposed of in one of the following ways. Coolant should be recycled either on-site or off-site. Used coolant should be stored in a sealed and labeled container. Used coolant can often be disposed of into municipal sewers with a permit. Check with local authorities and obtain a permit before discharging used coolant into sanitary sewers. Refer to Figure 7.5. Used antifreeze coolant should be kept separate and stored in a leak-proof container until it can be recycled or disposed of according to federal, state, and local laws. Note that the storage barrel is placed inside another container to catch any coolant that may spill out of the inside barrel. Used tire disposal. Used tires are an environmental concern because of several reasons, including 1. In a landfill, they tend to float up through the other trash and rise to the surface. 2. The inside of tires traps and holds rainwater, which is a breeding ground for mosquitoes. Mosquito-borne diseases include encephalitis, malaria, and dengue fever. 3. Used tires present a fire hazard and, when burned, create a large amount of black smoke that contaminates the air. Used tires should be disposed of in one of the following ways. 1. Used tires can be reused until the end of their useful life. 2. Tires can be retreaded. 3. Tires can be recycled or shredded for use in asphalt. 4. Unmounted tires can be sent to a landfill. Most landfill operators will shred the tires because it is illegal in many states to landfill whole tires. 5. Tires can be burned in cement kilns or other power plants where the smoke can be controlled. 6. A registered scrap tire handler should be used to transport tires for disposal or recycling. Air conditioning refrigerant oil disposal. Air conditioning refrigerant oil contains dissolved refrigerant and is therefore considered to be hazardous waste. This oil must be kept separated from other waste oil or the entire amount of oil must be treated as hazardous. Used refrigerant oil must be sent to a licensed hazardous waste disposal company for recycling or disposal. Refer to Figure 7.6. Air conditioning refrigerant oil must be kept separated from other oils because it contains traces of refrigerant and must be treated as hazardous waste. LED acid battery waste. About 70 million spent lead acid batteries are generated each year in the United States alone. Lead is classified as a toxic metal and the acid used in lead acid batteries is highly corrosive. The vast majority, 95% to 98% of these batteries are recycled through lead reclamation operations and secondary lead smelters for use in the manufacture of new batteries. Battery disposal used lead acid batteries must be reclaimed or recycled in order to be exempt from hazardous waste regulations. Leaking batteries must be stored and transported as hazardous waste. Some states have more strict regulations, which require special handling procedures and transportation. According to the Battery Council International, also known as BCI, battery laws usually include the following rules. 1. Lead-acid battery disposal is prohibited in landfills or incinerators. Batteries are required to be delivered to a battery retailer, wholesaler, recycling center, or lead smelter. 2. Question: all retailers of automotive batteries are required to post a sign that displays the universal recycling symbol and indicates the retailer's specific requirements for accepting used batteries. 3. Battery electrolyte contains sulfuric acid, which is a very corrosive substance capable of causing serious personal injury, such as skin burns and eye damage. In addition, the battery plates contain lead, which is highly poisonous. For this reason, Disposing of batteries improperly can cause environmental contamination and lead to severe health problems. Refer to Chart 7.1 in the book. Tech tip: remove components that contain mercury. Some vehicles have a placard near the driver's side door that lists the components that contain the heavy metal, mercury. Mercury can be absorbed through the skin and is a heavy metal that, once absorbed by the body, does not leave. See Figure 7.7. These components should be removed from the vehicle before the rest of the body is sent to be recycled to help prevent releasing mercury into the environment. Battery handling and storage. Batteries, whether new or sheltered and secured area with acid-resistant secondary containment used, should be kept indoors if possible. The storage location should be strongly recommended. It is also advisable that acid-resistant be an area specifically designated for battery storage and must be well secondary containment be used for indoor storage. In addition, ventilated, to the outside. If outdoor storage is the only alternative, a battery should be placed on acid-resistant pallets and never stacked. Refer to Figure 7.7, in the book, Placard Near Driver's Door, including what devices in the vehicle contain mercury. The following list are placards that indicate any health or environmental hazards. Tech tip: what every technician should know. OSHA has adopted new hazardous chemical labeling requirements, making it agree with global labeling standards established by the United Nations. As a result, workers will have better information available on the safe handling and use of hazardous chemicals, allowing them to avoid injuries and possible illnesses related to exposures to hazardous chemicals. See Figure 7.8. Solvents. The major sources of chemical danger are liquid and aerosol brake cleaning fluids that contain chlorinated hydrocarbon solvents. Several other chemicals that do not deplete the ozone, such as heptane, hexane, and xylene, are now being used in non-chlorinated brake cleaning solvents. Some manufacturers are also producing solvents they describe as environmentally responsible, which are biodegradable and non-carcinogenic, not cancer-causing. There is no specific standard for physical contact with chlorinated hydrocarbon solvents or the chemicals replacing them. All contact should be avoided whenever possible. The law requires an employer to provide appropriate protective equipment and ensure proper work practices by an employee handling these chemicals. Effects of chemical poisoning. The effects of exposure to chlorinated hydrocarbon and other types of solvents can take many forms. Short-term exposure at low levels can cause symptoms such as headache, nausea, drowsiness, dizziness, lack of coordination, unconsciousness. It may also cause irritation of the eyes, nose, and throat, and flushing of the face and neck. Short-term exposure to higher concentrations can cause liver damage with symptoms such as yellow jaundice or dark urine. Liver damage may not become evident until several weeks after the exposure. Refer to Figure 7.9. Washing hands and removing jewelry are two important safety habits all service technicians should practice. Safety tip: hand safety. Service technicians should wash their hands with soap and water after handling engine oil, differential oil, or transmission fluids, or wear protective rubber gloves. Another safety hint is that the service technician should not wear watches, rings, or other jewelry that could come in contact with electrical or moving parts of a vehicle. See Figure 7.9. Hazardous solvents and regulatory status. Most solvents are classified as hazardous wastes. Other characteristics of solvents include the following: solvents with flash points below 140 degrees Fahrenheit, 60 degrees Celsius, are considered flammable and, like gasoline, are federally regulated by the Department of Transportation, DOT. Solvents and oils with flash points above 140 degrees Fahrenheit, 60 degrees Celsius, are considered combustible and, like engine oil, are also regulated by the DOT. All flammable items must be stored in a fireproof container. See Figure 7.10. It is the responsibility of the repair shop to determine if its spent solvent is hazardous waste. Solvent reclaimers are available that clean and restore the solvent so it lasts indefinitely. Used solvents. Used or spent solvents are liquid materials that have been generated as waste and may contain xylene, methanol, ethyl ether, and methyl isobutyl ketone, MIBK. These materials must be stored in OSHA-approved safety containers with the lids or caps closed tightly. Additional requirements include the following: containers should be clearly labeled hazardous waste and the date the material was first placed into the storage receptacle should be noted. Labeling is not required for solvents being used in a parts washer. Used solvents will not be counted toward a facility's monthly output of hazardous waste if the vendor under contract removes the material. Used solvents may be disposed of by recycling with a local vendor, such as Safety Clean, to have the used solvent removed according to specific terms in the vendor agreement. Use aqueous-based, non-solvent, cleaning systems to help avoid the problems associated with chemical solvents. See Figure 7.11. Frequently asked question. How can you tell if a solvent is hazardous? If a solvent or any of the ingredients of a product contains fluor or chlor, then it is likely to be hazardous. Check the instructions on the label for proper use and disposal procedures. Refer to Figure 7.11. Using a water-based cleaning system helps reduce the hazards from using strong chemicals. Refer to Figure 7.12. This red gasoline container holds about 30 gallons of gasoline and is used to fill vehicles used for training. Fuel safety and storage. Gasoline is a very explosive liquid. The expanding vapors that come from gasoline are extremely dangerous. These vapors are present even in cold temperatures. Vapors formed in gasoline tanks on many vehicles are controlled, but vapors from gasoline storage may escape from the can, resulting in a hazardous situation. Therefore, place gasoline storage containers in a well-ventilated space. Although diesel fuel is not as volatile as gasoline, the same basic rules apply to diesel fuel and gasoline storage. These rules include the following. 1. Use storage cans that have a flash arresting screen at the outlet. These screens prevent external ignition sources from igniting the gasoline within the can when someone pours the gasoline or diesel fuel. 2. Use only a RED-approved gasoline container to allow for proper hazardous substance identification. See Figure 7.12. 3. Do not fill gasoline containers completely full. Always leave the level of gasoline at least 1 inch from the top of the container. This action allows expansion of the gasoline at higher temperatures. If gasoline containers are completely full, the gasoline will expand when the temperature increases. This expansion forces gasoline from the can and creates a dangerous spill. If gasoline or diesel fuel containers must be stored, place them in a designated storage locker or facility. 4. Never leave gasoline containers open, except while filling or pouring gasoline from the container. 5. Never use gasoline as a cleaning agent. 6. Always connect a ground strap to containers when filling or transferring fuel or other flammable products from one container to another to prevent static electricity that could result in explosion and fire. These ground wires prevent the buildup of a static electric charge, which could result in a spark and disastrous explosion. Airbag handling. Airbag modules are pyrotechnic devices that can be ignited if exposed to an electrical charge or if the body of the vehicle is subjected to a shock. Airbag safety should include the following precautions. 1. Disarm the airbags if you will be working in the area where a discharged bag could make contact with any part of your body. Consult service information for the exact procedure to follow for the vehicle being serviced. 2. If disposing of an airbag, the usual procedure is to deploy the airbag using a 12-volt power supply, such as a jump start box, using long wires to connect to the module to ensure a safe deployment. 3. Do not expose an airbag to extreme heat or fire. 4. Always carry an airbag pointing away from your body. 5. Place an airbag module facing upward. 6. Always follow the manufacturer's recommended procedure for airbag disposal or recycling, including the proper packaging to use during shipment. 7. Wear protective gloves if handling a deployed airbag. 8. Always wash your hands or body well if exposed to a deployed airbag. The chemicals involved can cause skin irritation and possible rash development. Review questions. Question 1. List 5 common automotive chemicals or products that may be considered hazardous materials. Question 2. The Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, RCRA, controls what types of automotive waste. Question 3. What methods need to be used when handling products that may contain asbestos? Question 4. How should used engine oil be disposed? Question 5. What precautions are needed to be taken when handling an airbag? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Hazardous materials include all of the following except A. Engine oil. B. Asbestos. C. Water. D. Brake cleaner. Question 2. To determine if a product or substance being used is hazardous, consult A. a dictionary. B. SDS. C. SAE standards. D. EPA guidelines. Question 3. Exposure to asbestos dust can cause what condition? A. Asbestosis. B. Mesothelioma. C. Lung cancer. D. All of the above. Question 4. When did asbestos dust is considered to be? A. Solid waste. B. Hazardous waste. C. Toxic. D. Poisonous. Question 5. An oil filter should be hot drained for how long before disposing of the filter? A. 30 to 60 minutes. B. 4 hours. C. 8 hours. D. 12 hours. Question 6. Used engine oil should be disposed of by all except the following methods. A. Disposed of in regular trash. B. Shipped off-site for recycling. C. Burned on-site in a waste oil-approved heater. D. Burned off-site in a waste oil-approved heater. Question 7. All of the following are the proper ways to dispose of a drained oil filter except A. Sent for recycling. B. Picked up by a service contract company. C. Disposed of in regular trash. D. Considered to be hazardous waste and disposed of accordingly. Question 8. Which act or organization regulates air conditioning refrigerant? A. Clean Air Act. C. AA. B. SDS. C. MS. D. Code of Federal Regulations, CFR. Question 9. Gasoline should be stored in approved containers that include what colors? A. A red container with yellow lettering. B. A red container. C. A yellow container. D. A yellow container with red lettering. Question 10. Which of these methods is the proper way to dispose of used brake fluid? A. Collect the fluid in a clearly marked container. B. Disposed by an authorized waste receiver. C. Mix the fluid with used engine oil. D. Both A and B. End of chapter 7.